Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Following the introduction by Dr. Stephen Jones, our speaker will be Attorney Chuck Hervis of Itasca, Illinois. He'll give his personal testimony.
We do welcome all of you who are here for the high school festival. Trust this will be an exciting week where you're enabled to try to sharpen the gifts that the Lord has given you in whatever areas and to use them more effectively for His glory and for His service. Trust these will be good days. As you heard Obi pray, it is a tiring time of semester for the students, but trust they will give you warm welcomes and that you'll feel right at home and have a great time here at the university. Thank you again for the honor of your presence, for being here these days for the festival. This wasn't arranged for those of you who are in fine arts and here for the festival, but it was scheduled quite a while ago. Our special speaker this morning is not a pastor, not a preacher, but still a servant of the Lord. He's got a different vineyard of ministry that the Lord has given him. He was actually a speech major, a public speaking major, and now would be an RPA major. We've changed that major in title at least. But he graduated in 1979 from the university, and then he went on to DePaul University's College of Law, finished there in 1983. He and his family are currently up in the Chicago area, and they attend Bethel Baptist Church in Schaumburg, Illinois, and live in Itasca, Illinois. He's the managing partner at Hervis, Condon, and Bersani, which is a law firm located in the Chicago suburbs. His practice, we were talking a little bit before chapel, is an interesting one. He got into it in the early 80s, and in his own words, this was a field where the wind was at his back because of the burgeoning of this whole area of law. But his firm concentrates in defending units of local government and law enforcement officials in civil rights suits in federal and state courts. And obviously there are numerous ones of those and more all of the time. And so a very fruitful area of service. And he's served in distinction in a number of ways. He's been second chair for two oral arguments that were presented in the Supreme Court. And he's also argued numerous cases before the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals and tried dozens of jury cases in federal and state courts as well. He's active in local government. He is currently serving as the village attorney in Itasca, Illinois, previously served on the school board for 3.5 years. He's been an alderman at City Council of Des Plaines, Illinois, and very involved, not only in his profession, but in his church there. He serves in the audio and video ministry at Bethel Baptist Church, doing some of the things that are being done here up in the audio booth and the video booth as well. So it's a privilege to introduce to you a graduate whom the Lord is greatly using. Though his field is not ministry directly, his life is about ministry. His family, his wife Reba, his daughter Becca, who just completed her senior recital yesterday afternoon, which went well, and then has a big part in King Lear at Thanksgiving, is here. His other daughter Ashley, who's 18, and then his son Daniel, who's 15. They're all here for these days with us as well. So it's a privilege to present to you Mr. Chuck Hervis, a graduate with a message for all of us to hear about how the Lord has used him in the field to which the Lord has called him.
Thank you, Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones, administration, faculty, students, and guests, it is a true privilege to stand on this platform and share my testimony. I have a strong feeling that I'm the first Chicago lawyer to do so. You may ask yourself, how did I get here? I'm going to give you the short version. My father grew up in Ecuador. My mother grew up in Germany. Around the age of 18, my dad left Ecuador, came to the United States, had some trouble speaking English, had some trouble finding a job, so he joined the Army. The Army was happy to have him. They sent him to Germany. My father did his tour of duty in Germany. He met a German woman. They were married. And on August 27, 1958, I was born in Heidelberg, Germany. In Germany, you take the citizenship of your father, so I was born an Ecuadorian citizen in Heidelberg. In 1958, my family moved to a small apartment on the north side of Chicago, about 2 miles from Wrigley Field, so you know some of my baseball preferences. At age 7, a remarkable thing happened to me. I became a United States citizen. I'm a naturalized citizen along with my parents. We took the oath, and to this day, I am very, very proud to be an American. In 1974, I was a sophomore at Maine West High School in Des Plaines. Our family moved out to the suburbs. There was a young girl, also a sophomore, that I wanted to go out on a date with at high school. I asked her out, and she said no. So I asked her again, and she said no. A couple days later, I asked her again, and she said no. So finally, I persisted more. I asked her out, and she said, okay, I'll go out on a date with you, but only to one place. I said, where? She said, church. I said, fine. I went to Brentwood Baptist Church with her, sat with her in Sunday school, for teen Sunday school, sat with her during church. I was interested in her, but I was also interested in my soul. Pastor James Hines preached the gospel. I responded. And the man who was soon to become my youth leader took me aside, explained the plan of salvation. I acknowledged I was a sinner, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior on April 7th, 1974. I want to say thank you, Linda, that girl who was a sophomore. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your standards. Thank you for sharing the gospel. It made a big difference to me and my family. Then in the summer of 1974, in youth group, there was a young woman who returned from a college that I'd never heard of, and she was very excited about what was going on. Chris Berg, she was a student at Bob Jones University. She brought her yearbook home. She showed everybody. She told us all about it. And she used to call me Charlie. Well, she still does. Charlie, you got to go to Bob Jones University. The enthusiasm was infectious. I thought about it. I wanted to go to the University of Illinois. I want to thank you, Chris, who is now Chris Rogers, for your testimony, for your encouragement, and pointing the way to Bob Jones University. I graduated from high school 1 year early and signed up to come to Bob Jones University. I had never visited the school. The first time I set foot on this campus was in late August of 1975. Yes, 1975. 30 years go by, and here I am today. Young people, I want to share with you 3 points. Number one, appreciate the importance of your opportunity here. Number two, enjoy your opportunity. And number three, be thankful for your opportunity. As a student and a prospective graduate of Bob Jones, your life is on a course that few in this world will undertake. Just try to explain Bob Jones University to the average person. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Now is the time, right here in the university, to define who you are and decide what you want to be. I recall stirring messages and challenges from my years here at Bob Jones University that had a big impact on my life. I recall a powerful message brought by a ministerial student at one of our groups where he focused on David's response to the Philistines and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:29 with the phrase, "Is there not a cause?" What a great text for a message. What a great text for determination. How about the sermon I heard while I was here about conviction in Daniel 1:8, where it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat." Or perhaps it was Joshua's challenge in Joshua 24:15. "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." And Joshua concludes, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Or perhaps it was Elijah's challenge at Mount Carmel, another sermon I heard, in 1 Kings 18:21. "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him." Or perhaps one of the most important verses to me personally, Philippians 1:21, my life verse, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I was greatly influenced by those in my society, Epsilon Zeta Chi. Greg Rogers was the president of Zeta Chi when I joined. I remember prayer meetings on Wednesday. I remember the power of God. I remember men who cared, who wanted to be something and do something. Greg married that young lady, Chris Berg, and Greg is now a pastor in Virginia. I remember praying with Matt Olson, who now leads in academics. I remember praying with Ed Alexander. Ed and Jan are now stellar missionaries to Brazil. And I remember praying with Brad Smith, a man who is now my pastor at Schomburg and a leader in fundamental Baptist circles. And I could go on and on and on. Young people, let me tell you something about your chapel seat. As I was preparing for this message, for this testimony, I thought about the seats that I had sat in and how there are people right now sitting in the seats that I used to sit in. Now, there's nothing mystical about the seat, and there's nothing special about it because I sat in it. But I want you to know something. The seat is special, and it's special because it is God's seat for you right now. It is a seat of opportunity that God will use to teach you and change your life. Young people, the seat is on loan. Use it wisely. After 4 years at Bob Jones University, I thought law school would be a breeze. Oh, I was disciplined. I got up at a certain time. I wore good clothes to class. I had my tie. I was ready to go. I found out something about law school. There were people there that didn't live disciplined lives. There was a lot of alcohol. There were people that smoked marijuana in the bathrooms. There was a lot of foolishness that went on. And yet, when I went to class and they went to class, despite their attitude, despite their party life, they were still smarter and better than I was. And I thought, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? But I had all the conviction in the world from Bob Jones University. I remember Professor Bill Marshall, third-year law student I was. Professor Marshall was a visiting professor. He came in to teach First Amendment freedoms. And I went to him before I signed up for the class, and I said, Professor, welcome to DePaul. Are you teaching First Amendment freedoms? Yes, I am. It's going to be on the religion clauses. Are you going to deal with the Bob Jones University case? He said, we're going to spend a whole day on that case. I said, great. I was a student at Bob Jones University. I'm taking your class to make sure you tell the truth. He looked at me, and I'm telling you, we had a class. We did. And Professor Marshall knew who I was, and I haven't seen him in years. He's gone on to distinguish himself in law. But if you said something to Professor Marshall today, he would remember that guy from Bob Jones back in the 1980s. Let me share with you an important case I handled approximately 5 years ago. My law partner and I represented a police lieutenant who was suing his village and the police chief for harassment because the lieutenant supported the former police chief who ran for mayor and lost. There are two things you need to know about this case. The department tried to fire this man, and they accused him of matters that were patently untrue. And number two, he was a Christian man who was very principled, and he decided to take a stand. And let me tell you, that was a recipe for a guy like me from Bob Jones University. I salivated at the opportunity. 1 week before trial, they offered to settle the case for $150,000. We told them we wanted $175,000. We couldn't come to a deal. We decided to go to trial. Trial lasted 1 week. My partner and I tried the best case of our lives. I tried many cases to a jury, but I knew in that instance I gave the best closing argument ever. The jury was so incensed at what happened in that case that they awarded my client $12.5 million. Now, that case is still talked about. But I want you to know one of the first things I did when that case was over. I went back to my office and I wrote a letter. I wrote a letter thanking my professors at Bob Jones University. Young people, my private lessons teacher was Joyce Parks. Now, Joyce went to be with the Lord a year or two ago. And many of you don't know her, but many of you in this room do know who she is. Joyce Parks was a tough teacher. And I remember Joyce Parks was, do it again. Do it again. I don't like it. Do it again. Get back up there and do it again. Change this. Do it again. She was really hard. And it was tough on me. But to this day, I thank Joyce Parks for what she did for me because it was getting me ready for special opportunities. I remember Doris Harris, who taught me storytelling, who taught me how to relax a little bit, tell a story, spin a yarn, how valuable that was for me before a jury. Or Elizabeth Edwards, one of the sweetest ladies, one of the absolute sweetest ladies who taught me poetry. I can't say enough about her. Or even Dr. DeWitt Jones, who at the time was my debate coach. He also taught me private lessons. He is my mentor and one of the most important people in my life. He took an interest in me at Bob Jones University. And a lot of the professors have taken an interest in you as individuals. Don't forget to thank them. You know, young people, I'm going to tell you a little secret about Dr. DeWitt Jones. Back at least 20 or 25 years ago, when he was really mad at you, his ears would get really red. And I got to tell you, I lit those ears up a couple times when I was here. And he took me out to the woodshed, figuratively, and he told me what was right and what was wrong. And Dr. Jones, I appreciate that. I appreciate what you did for me. And I appreciate you putting me on a good course. Young people, any success that I've had is because people here at Bob Jones University invested their lives in me and cared about me. Now, you also need to understand that your opportunity here is so important that you must not quit. I wanted to quit. I sure did. It was about October of 1975. I'd been here for about a month and 3 weeks. It was tough. The rules were tough. I'd only come to know the Lord for a year and a half, and they had a lot of rules. If you think they got rules now, you should have been there in 1975. The assignment sheets, all the work. It was unbelievable. I went to my prayer closet, my secret closet out in Smith Dormitory, and I said, God, let me go home. This is too much. I can't do this. Please. I walked down the street, and I remember in front of Reveal Dormitory sitting on the curb, and I had myself a real good cry. It was overwhelming. It was too much for me. I went back, called my mom, and said, Mom, who unfortunately had gone through some hard times herself, divorced, tough with money, I said, Mom, I'm coming home to help you. God's leading me to do that. You know what my mom did? She laughed at me. She said, you're not coming home. You're staying right there. My son is going to stay at Bob Jones University. She said, don't even think about it. Between my roommates and others who encouraged me, I stayed. I think, what would have happened to me if I would have left Bob Jones University? Thank you, Mom. Thank you for not letting me quit. Students, you've got family supporting you. You've got others supporting you. Do not quit. God is using Bob Jones University to make something out of you for the rest of your life. Young people, you need to learn that you need to be ready for decision time about your faith. It comes at a time when you least expect it. Peter denied Christ 3 times. It's so easy to talk about impetuous Peter. Let me tell you something. It's a lot harder than you think. Don't quit now. Don't even think about quitting. Make sure you understand the importance of this opportunity. Young people, enjoy your opportunity here at Bob Jones University. I love BJU. I have a confession to make to you. I was no BJU superstar, okay? I stand up here, and I got to be honest with you. I was a nerd, okay? I had a pocket protector. I had pencils. I had pens. I had a little slide rule that acted as a ruler, okay? I had big glasses. I was on the debate team. I carried around my file box, okay? You know what I'm talking about. I was a speech major. I entered speech contests. They still have them. I never won one. I never even made the semifinals of a speech contest. I wanted to. I was never elected to society office. I never made it into Christian leadership. I was not in Who's Who in the yearbook. I didn't have any athletic skill. I was an average student with more confidence than brains. But I wanted to serve God. I was on the debate team, and I loved it. I absolutely loved the debate team. I was in inter-society debate as well. I love society. I recall basketball games, how important they were to me at the time. When Greg Rogers of the Zeta Chi Tornadoes went up against Bruce McAllister and the Basilian Eagles, it was a big deal. And unfortunately, Basilian got the best of us back then. But we did real well in soccer. You know, I've visited society games here last year. My future son-in-law, Nathan Kaser, played for Beta. I was there at the game. I was with Rebecca. And Beta would score a goal. And there was this young man with this big flag. And he would start tearing down the track, running as fast as he could every time they scored a goal. And unfortunately, if Beta scored too many goals, it was a rough trip. and I see this young man again at the basketball games, and I think to myself, that's wonderful. Young man, whoever you are, carrying that flag around, you keep doing that. That's wonderful. That's great. That's what society's all about. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. As you can tell from a prior story, I enjoyed asking girls out on dates. Think about how tough that was for me at Bob Jones. I recall my first class meeting of my junior year. There was a girl named Reba Ruffin. Reba was the girls' vice president. Reba was talented, beautiful, exciting, and way out of my league. I sat in the top row of the bleachers in the old gym. I sat next to my debate partner, and we were on cruise control. It was junior year. We knew what was going on, and everything was going to be great. We were going to have a great year. And Reba was out there doing the junior class thing with the other officers, and I said, Joel, see that girl over there? I'm going to marry that girl. And Joel looked at me and said, Chuck, you have she has no idea who you are. You are out of your mind. And we joked around about that. 6 months later, I had the nerve to ask her out on a date. I don't know if it was debate or whatever, but somehow I convinced her to marry me. And I got to tell you, Reba Hervis is my best friend, my life partner, and one of the most precious gifts that God ever gave me. Bob Jones University is a great place to find a wife or a husband. You know, the trend today is to wait. My experience and observation is if you can find the right person here at Bob Jones University to marry, go for it. Don't wait. Don't leave Bob Jones University if you find somebody here. What a blessing it is to find someone who shared the Bob Jones experience to share your life with. Young people, I endorse it. Take time to enjoy your 4 years here at the university. Young people, be thankful for your opportunity. Be thankful. At my 20-year reunion, I met a woman who I didn't know very well, who graduated the same year I did. She'd not been back once in 20 years. She admitted privately in a conversation that she had messed her life up. Basically, she said so. She married the wrong guy, was divorced, was totally off track. But she came back to the class reunion because she wanted to remember what it was like in a happy time. I was so sad. I was so sad. And young people, let me encourage you, don't let that happen to you. Visit often. Say thank you. Reba and I have visited Bob Jones University every year except twice since we graduated. We absolutely love to visit the university. The 4 years you spend here as a student are unique to you. They're your 4 years. When you graduate from the university and you come back, even though you're a graduate, you're still a visitor. Even though you're a graduate, you're still... I was surprised. When I came back the first year after I graduated, to me it was like, you know, I know where everything is. I know what's going on. And then you're a visitor. It's over. The 4 years you get is the 4 years you get. Young people, thank your parents. Thank your parents or whoever it is in your family that's encouraging you, wants you to be here. Write to them. Let them know. Let them know. Some of you don't really want to be here. That's true because it was true in my day too. Discussions with parents, fights, things of that nature. Young people, you're here. Take advantage of the opportunity. Make things right between you and your parents about Bob Jones University. I encourage you to do it. Some of you know, I'm talking to you right now because I remember so much of that when I was a student. You know who I'm talking to. You need to make things right. Take advantage of what you have here. I need to thank a couple teachers as well. You know, Mrs. Wulsifer, she was the Spanish Club sponsor and the Spanish Club teacher, the Spanish Club department chairman. She made me give the devotional in Spanish, the whole thing in Spanish. It was tough, and I didn't really want to do it. I remember, and she said, "No, you're going to do it. It's going to be okay." Thank you, Mrs. Wolsifer, for making me do something I really didn't want to do at the time. And Spanish has been a wonderful blessing to me. Also, Dr. Walter Fremont. Young people, if you only knew what a dynamic force he was in the classroom. I didn't need to take psychology, but I took child psychology and adolescent psychology just because I wanted to sit in Dr. Fremont's classroom and listen to him talk about family and raising children, because I figured I wanted to have a family, I wanted to raise children. And Dr. Fremont had a tremendous impact on Reba and I in those classes, and they made a big difference in our view toward raising children. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Fremont. Thank you to all my teachers. Too long of a list to mention. I want to thank the leadership. Thank you, leadership, for making Bob Jones University possible. Thank you so much for the commitment and the dedication that you show to this institution and to keep it on a good course. And I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity and privilege that I have had to come to this university and learn about the ways of the Lord. It has made a terrific impact on my life. There are days that I think simply about the songs we sang in Zeta Chi about how the Lord would grab hold of our hearts and the harmony of the men. And there are days when I would think to myself, I just find peace in remembering about those days. We would sing, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." And to this day, I can still hear the men singing on Wednesday night. I want to close with a story that occurred in 1986. It was a big day for me in this particular instance because it was the first time I got to be lead trial counsel, in a case involving two police officers from the village of Lombard that had been accused of utilizing excessive use of force. Now, the person who was suing the police officers had been convicted of resisting arrest and battery against the police officers, but yet he still sued for excessive use of force. We had a great case. We felt we should win. My partner and I tried the case, and it went well. I gave the closing argument, and when I returned to my seat, the police officer had put a piece of paper on my seat, and it said, "Thank you for a great job. Are you available on Judgment Day? God will never let me into heaven. I need you to plead my case to get me in." That's what the paper said. I was stunned. I sat down, but court's still going, and I'm reading the paper. And the judge took 20 minutes to read the jury instructions, and then we all dismissed. The jury was dismissed. We're waiting for a verdict. And people on our side are excited because we believe we're going to win. We go out into the hallway of this federal court, courtroom, and my partner's with me. The two police officers, their wives, someone from the insurance company, and they're thanking me for the job that I did for them. They felt it was excellent. And the police officer put his arm around me there and he said, "You know, I wasn't kidding about that paper. I need you. I need you on Judgment Day. God will never let me in with the way I've lived my life. And if you're there, you can get me in." And I thought to myself, boy, this just seems like a rather inappropriate time to say something, but I'm not sure what to do. And I thought, you know, Chuck, as a graduate of Bob Jones University and everything you've learned as a Christian, if you don't say something now, just pack it in. I looked at the officer and I said, "We can take care of that right now." And he looked at me startled, and everyone looked at me, and I said, "You don't need me on Judgment Day. Jesus Christ died for your sins. You can take care of that right now. We can pray right now and make that decision, and you will have eternal life. You don't need me on Judgment Day." I gave them the plan of salvation. They had to listen to me. I was just the guy who just did the closing argument for them. It was a bit uncomfortable. It didn't seem appropriate, at least not from the world's perspective. But it sure seemed appropriate from my perspective. I could share with you so many stories about how much fun it is, and I mean it, fun, to take a stand, to speak out. People will say to you, "Thank you for saying something." It's amazing. They do. They come out of the woodwork later and say, "Thank you. I feel like you do about that. Thank you." Young people, regardless of your major, regardless of your course of study, never forget that God's intended purpose for your life is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Bob Jones University, for not only teaching me how to make a living, but for teaching me how to live. Thank you, Stephen Jones. My opportunity to speak here and share my testimony has truly been an opportunity of a lifetime. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for the opportunity to address so many young people. God, I pray that you would use my words. God, that you would use this opportunity to transfer to these students a knowledge and understanding that something lies before them, that today they can make a difference in their lives. God, help them to appreciate what they have.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was attorney Chuck Hervis of Itasca, Illinois. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's program, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.